Wusstest du, dass TK Maxx immer die besten Markendeals hat? Duftkerzen für alle, Sportoutfits, stylische Pieces für dein Zuhause, Designer-Handtasche, check, check, check. Bei TK Maxx findest du große Marken zu unglaublichen Preisen. Psst. Im Onlineshop auf tkmaxx.de kannst du rund um die Uhr die besten Markendeals shoppen. TK Maxx, immer der bessere Deal im Store und online.
Oh God, yes! Holy mac and cheese balls.
Viele Sonntage sind jetzt zum Glück nicht mehr bis zum ersten Rennen. Jetzt haben wir es bald geschafft.
Ja, und ich finde, wir haben das echt also gut überbrückt.
Und auch diese Woche schaffen wir ohne Rennen, weil es gibt natürlich eine neue Episode Formula One mit einem großartigen Gast. Ein weiterer Blick hinter die Kulissen der Formel 1. Mit einer sehr coolen Frau. Heute ist nämlich mit dabei die Samantha Leakes, die ist Composites Technician bei Alfa Romeo Racing Orlen. Letzte Saison war die eben beim Auto vom Antonio Giovinazzi. Und das Coole ist, die hat man so oft im Fernsehen gesehen, weil die eben beim vorderen Reifen für den eben dann zuständig war. Und da gibt es die Samcam. Das heißt, immer wenn man die Samantha irgendwo gesehen hat, hat man die auf Instagram auch verlinken können und sie hat das dann auch immer geteilt und ich finde das so cool, weil die sticht auch wirklich raus als Frau, wenn die da am Auto herum montiert und bastelt.
Tüftelt.
Pumpigt. Wir hören wieder auf zum Reden, wir stellen jetzt nur noch die Fragen, also viel Spaß mit dem Interview mit der Sam.
Thank you so much for your time. I know you have many things to do, so we really appreciate it. Let's just start with the first question. What was your first contact with Formula One? Can you remember?
Wow. Yes, I can actually. And it was wasn't the easiest thing. So when I finished university, I went through the motions of sending my CV to absolutely everybody that would that would accept it, you know, Googling email addresses that weren't necessarily available. Actually, I don't even know if Google was around then. Yeah, it must have been. Yeah, my first experience was actually rejection from sending my CV just generally into email accounts, seeing if anyone was interested. So, and getting a lot of thank you, you know, generic thank you emails. Oh, sorry, at this time, we're not looking for anyone like you, or we don't have a position to fill. And yeah, it was fairly brutal in one respect, but you have to be determined to do anything, especially after university. I think you have this misconception that you can get a job straight away, but actually you have to push quite hard and be a bit of a nuisance sending emails everywhere. So that was probably my first memory in terms of trying to get a job in F1. I was eventually lucky because I was persistent and Red Bull gave me a chance. So started there as a junior and worked my way through. And that's many years ago now.
And was it always a dream for you to work in motorsport? Because you've really been to so many different classes too.
I always liked art and design and things like this when I was at school, and I was quite the tomboy. You know, I was into cars and modifying cars and things like this. So I and my parents were both into cars, my dad especially. So when I actually went to interview for my university choices, I went to Loughborough University and had an interview there, and one thing they always said to me was, if you can design a car, you can design a product. Mm-hmm. But if you can design a product, you won't have the understanding to design a car. And they said, oh, and actually you're really into cars and automotive, maybe this is a line you want to follow. And I hadn't really thought about it. It was there, but I thought I'd be a product designer. This was my initial feeling, and it's a bit more known about, I guess. And they said, Coventry University offer an internationally renowned course on automotive design and vehicle design, maybe you should consider them. I mean, Loughborough offered me a place. But in the end, I followed my passion, which was cars, and teamed that with my education. So it was kind of like the dream scenario. And motorsport, yeah, my dad was into F1 when I was a kid, and it was like a natural progression. So I think, yeah, now I'm here.
And now, what exactly are you doing? We see you sometimes on TV. You're one of those persons you really see.
Yeah, this is not really something I enjoy. I would say if I had a choice, I would be 100% avoiding the camera. Mm-hmm. But I think it's good that there's a visual part of this, so people to come and the kids, and I can inspire them and they can see that there is someone physically there. So my role, I'm a composites technician. So I look after anything that's carbon fiber. This is my responsibility in general. 90% of the car is carbon fiber, so there's a lot that I can be responsible for. We look after a lot of the aero side of things as well, and work alongside the aero with updates or tweaking things to try and get the car in the best possible state. Responsible for changing aero configurations, so engine covers, front wings, rear wings, and things like this. So anything, the black stuff is my is what I look after.
And how does race week look like for you?
It's fairly similar at each track, especially in the European track. So we'll go in Tuesday and we'll start basic setup. We're quite fortunate that we have a garage setup crew that will come in and do the initial things on a Monday for us. But it'll be unpacking and unloading the trucks and sorting out what parts we'll need for the week. So building assemblies, so the front wings won't come necessarily built. There might be changes. We might go from high downforce to low downforce front ends, and the same with the rear ends. So a lot of prep work in that respect, and changing stickers and liveries sometimes, repairs. So if we haven't had the opportunity to send everything back here to Hinville, we'll do basic repairs at the track on parts that we think we can manage here that aren't terminal. So we spend probably the whole of Wednesday doing this, getting things ready. Also involves cooling options and things like this. The aero will give us a specification what they want, and then we have to make sure the car is ready for Thursday for going to the bridge and making sure that when they are on the scale and getting the weight of the car that the configuration is correct. And then, yeah, so everything needs to be done by Thursday night. Mm-hmm. We try and as much as possible not to work to curfew. But depending on the track, right? So if you've done three back-to-back, sometimes it's not, you know, you've got to expect to work a bit later because, you know, we've had 3 weeks of the same car, effectively. And then obviously Friday for me is spent a lot in the garage during the sessions. So I'm responsible for front left tyre and corner in the session, but also I'm responsible for the bodywork and checking that the car, there's no breakages and front wing flap angles and things like that. So when the car's in the garage, I have to make sure that we haven't got any real damages to the car. And if we do have damages, can we carry on with the session? Is it a quick fix? Do we have to change the part? What sort of time are we going to lose? And you have to discuss this with the engineers and the aero to see if it's going to be a real issue or anything. And then our race engineer will call different flap angles and during the testing, so FP1, FP2, FP3, we can do slight changes on aero configuration, gurneys, for example. And this will be something that I will have to do or have to sort for the guys. Mm-hmm. So if there's, you know, we have to kind of work hand in hand. If there's a big change to the car, then I'll go and get the parts, and then the mechanics will do some of it and I will do other bits, and we'll, and then Saturday, obviously the same again in the morning. Qualifying is a bit more stressful in terms of time wise. You know, it's pretty quick. We don't have much time to turn the cars around and things like this. So it's very much focused for me on putting the wheel on, and getting it ready, making sure the blankets are plugged in and stuff like that, and running around when the flap angle needs changing. Other than that, there's not much really we can do in terms of repair work because we'll lose time. So we have to weigh up what's the best scenario to get the qualifying result we want. Then after qualies, parc fermé, so we can't touch the cars. We can put in requests if there's any damage or something like that, but whatever we do has to be done in the garage. And then I get to run the track on a Saturday afternoon. And that is my main... No, it's not.
Trying to make the fastest lap.
No, just to finish a lap. I am definitely not quick. My legs are too short.
Absolutely understand that issue.
But yeah, so Saturday for me, I like to run the track. That's my that's the how I spend my downtime. And then, yeah, ready. Everything's ready for the race. In terms of the race, we keep some spares, so in case there's a red flag, we have like loads of stuff ready. A large box of equipment that we can take to the grid if we need to, or into the pit lane, so we can repair the cars out in the pit lane. And then lots of pit stop practice and things like that in between, but I think that's my week, really.
And during the season, we already had two sprints. How do these weekends feel for you? Because I think there's a big difference to a normal race weekend.
Yes. So Parc Fermé starts on a Friday, which is different because we can't do any repairs. So if there is anything to repair, we have to put in a request for it. So we have to really make a decision whether it's worth putting a request in for the repair, whether it's something we can manage with, you know, tape or something like this, you know, that we are allowed to do. If we need to change a part, then we have to request it as well. So from Friday, it's very unusual. Mm-hmm. So normally on a Friday, we can change the front wing. We change the front wing shims because you take the car, you know, you might change the setup a little bit and take the car to the bridge, measure it all, and there will be some changes. Now it's fixed, so it's a bit more steady, it's a bit quieter. But then you have two grids. So you have the sprint grid and then you have the race grid, which is quite a big task for us. You know, there's a lot of equipment we take to the grid, and there's a lot of running back from the grid. From a composite side of things, it's probably slightly less because we've not got the FP in the same way. So FP2, you can't do any aero changes or anything like that. But in terms of my role in the race team, it's probably slightly more because we're at the grid preparing the car ready to race twice in one weekend. So I think there can be some improvements to it, but it's something new. So it always takes everyone a little time to get used to it and understand it and things like that. So.
And what would you say is the most challenging part of your job?
That's a good question and a difficult question. I'm not really sure what the most challenging, I think, because I've been doing it for quite a while now, the most challenging part was getting used to being back in F1 in terms of parts and things like this, I think, for me, because I'd done it for such a long time before, but then I've taken 4 years out and I've come back, you know, going from the WEC Championship to F1. This was quite a challenge to get back into it. You know, it was, in one way, it was a lot of delving back into my memory to see what was still there, and you know, things have changed and things have moved on, but not massively. It's difficult. I don't think there is one aspect that I find in my role that's challenging, really.
And you also have been through so many stages in motorsport. So what would you say in general, what was one of your most memorable moments whilst working in motorsport?
It's got to be Le Mans for me.
Okay.
It's got to be, because no one can ever describe the experience of completing that race. Everybody's tired. You've been working for 30, you end up working 36 hours, right? You're awake for this amount of time. And to get the car to the end of that is probably the biggest achievement as a composites technician or a mechanic, I think, that you can do. That first time when I was in LMP2 with Jackie Chan and Jota, that first time was, it took a long time for it to sink in. And then when you look back on it, you're like, well, I was part of that team. We got that car to the end. We led the race for the first time as an LMP2. And, you know, we actually made history then. And I think that will always have, for me, one of the biggest, yeah, it's just incredible. It's really hard to explain to, like, I want to share my energy, but it's, you just can't imagine. I mean, F1 is talked about as the pinnacle of motorsport, and it is in very many respects. But as a race and an achievement, I think that first win will always be, yeah, will be something that I can never describe well enough. So,
how do you cope with stress during a race weekend?
So for me, it's running.
Yeah.
I don't get to do it very often. So generally, it'll build up. But the Saturday to go for a run around the track, this is a good stress reliever for me. It's a time where I'm sort of on my own in one respect. I'm not, yeah, that's a lie, because I tend to try and run with somebody unofficially from another team, because
just to get a toe.
Yeah, just to get a toe, just to get my little legs running quicker. No, it's nice, because I have a lot of friends in the pit lane, and obviously with Corona and stuff like that, it's very difficult to meet each other and things like this. So it's nice to be able to have, it's normally just one other person, and we run the track, and it's a good way of letting off steam physically, and mentally. I find it clears my mind, you know. When I'm back, I try to run when I can. Okay, after a triple header, it's generally not the first thing on my mind, but the bed is definitely cooling more than my running kit. But I do find, I guess, the endorphins and things like this, it's a real good way to say, right, you know, if I've had a bad day, then running makes it feel better, because I take my aggression out on my run. And if I've had a good day, it's the same, you know, you have a, yeah.
And as a runner, what would you say is the most exhausting track? Because, whoa, I've heard Austria, the way to turn three, everyone hates that.
Yeah, Austria was pretty, yeah, never ending. It was relentless. I mean, I would have said Spa originally. Mm-hmm. But actually, I quite enjoyed Spa, which I didn't think I'd ever say. Running Spa track, I enjoyed. I think for me this year, Imola was pretty difficult.
Okay.
I think I wasn't expecting it to be quite as hilly as it was. And obviously, everyone knows Austria is not flat. So, and I actually ran it twice, because we did the back-to-back there. Mm-hmm. So obviously I had to run it twice. But once you're up, then the rest is down. So it's not horrendous.
Okay.
I just am definitely not made for hills. Monza was definitely the best, because it's flat. However, it was pitch black, because I went at like 9:30 at night and I couldn't see anything. Like, not even, I was following the white line trying to see where I went. It's like, I'm sure I've run this track before, and yeah, it could be anywhere right now. Yeah. Especially, that's a good thing with where I've lived in the past. So in Cologne and Milton Keynes is all flat. And now I'm in Hinwil, and it's, not so flat.
And after a triple header, what is the first thing you do when you get back home? Do you welcome McDonald's? Your bed?
This time we had to go to work. We have quite a short time to turn the cars around, so we were straight into work. What did I do after the last triple header? Probably nothing. Probably putting some English rubbish TV on in the background and laying down, just, yeah.
But it's
being a potato.
But that's just so amazing when you just enjoy doing nothing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to do that.
And actually more so than you realize. Like I say, I'm all for going for a run and when I'm on holiday, I like to be quite active and doing stuff that it is definitely a, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to even unpack my bag. I just want to just be a potato for a whole week if necessary.
And what would you say, what is the biggest misconception about working in Formula One?
That it's glamorous. Mm-hmm. Because it's definitely, well, my job is definitely not glamorous. I'm always covered in glue and carbon dust and never have time to do my hair and my makeup and stuff that I quite like to do. Like if I go out for a party and I'm like in a dress and things like this, and instead I'm wearing shorts and knee pads and a shirt and generally... if I'm not wearing knee pads, have black knees and my fingernails are, yeah, the glamour of F1 is definitely on the TV and not in the garage, let's say.
And now you're back in Formula One. And what is one of the funniest stories that happened during the season? Or is it just serious work?
It's not serious. I can tell you the best thing so far, which was going to Zandvoort. I mean, the atmosphere was electric. It was probably one of the best events that I've ever been to. I've never experienced anything like it. You know, they were so vibrant and electric, and the atmosphere, and you could feel it, you know, you could feel their excitement that F1 was there. And I think this year, this has been the most incredible thing, you know, to see the crowds full. I mean, okay, they all were supporting Max Verstappen, but you know, to have that hunger and yeah, it was just, it made you realize that this is motorsport and this is what it should be like. It's about being excited and enjoying what we're doing and not being serious. I mean, it's a sport at the end of the day, and yeah, have fun and do your job. And yeah, this year, if I was going to say anything about funny things that's happened or anything like that, I mean, seeing Tiesto going around on a truck on the circuit playing live music, I mean, it doesn't really get much bigger than that these days. And yeah, so.
And this season is just so crazy because we also had the Spa weekend. So for us, it was just, yeah, waiting in front of the TV, and I could have been at the beach. So
yes. So could I. I would like to have been at the beach.
So how did that Sunday feel for you?
Spa has a special place in my heart. I love Spa. I love the fact that it can be snowing 1 minute, bright sunshine the next minute, hailstones, rain. And I like Spa for that, you know, the unpredictability of it. And I like the rain. There's unfortunately, my best friend, who is no longer with us, one of his last wishes was to hear the rain. And we had a very dry summer. And now I have a very different perspective on rain. You know, I try and think of it in a very different way, that it's not a bad thing. I mean, it was pretty chaotic for us, and we were completely soaked. And this isn't nice, you know, you get cold and things like this. But I try and think of it in a positive light. You know, it's one of the, it's a great racetrack. It's got a lot of history. And, you know, in one way, it's a privilege to still be going there. And I think actually with all the flooding that's been going on recently around that area, and for me, it was a privilege to be able to be there. And it would have been nice to have put a race on, maybe delaying it and just doing what we were doing. In my opinion, it wasn't the best idea, but I can also understand the safety side of things. So it's difficult, you know, do you postpone it to the next day, or do you let them go out and race anyway? Yeah, it was rain. it was wet, but it was, yeah, I think you can't go to Spa and expect it to be 27 degrees, right? And if it is, then what's happened? So,
and you didn't get a cold.
No, Maybe that's the mask thing.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm waiting, yeah, but you kind of, with stuff like that, I think if when you do our job and you're traveling so much, it's you don't get tend to get sick or a cold until you relax.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be like Christmas time where, you know, your body finally goes, oh yeah, we're going to be sick now because you've got time.
Yay.
Know,
so. Yeah. What has been your experience as a woman in motorsport? Was it hard for you?
Very hard. Yeah. To begin with, very, very, very difficult. I won't lie about it. I'm not going to paint a beautiful picture. It was tough. I started as a junior in a group in the model shop that had never had a woman before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fresh out of university, and you always have an air of confidence when you've come out of university. You know, probably thought I knew everything. It was tough. It was tough. And they weren't handle me. It's not the right word, but they didn't really know how to interact with me. Do they treat me like a woman? Do they treat me like one of the guys? And I've grown up as always being one of the guys. The school I went to, there wasn't many girls. It was an all-boys school 2 years before I joined. So I've always been quite used to being the minority in terms of being a woman, but it was difficult. And I would say I had to prove myself 10 times more than the guys had to. I felt like I worked harder, and it took a lot more to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's not been easy. It's definitely getting better. And the more, you know, things like this that we can do to show that it's possible and be out in the public, it's definitely getting easier. And, you know, I think I started in 2008, and although there were women around, there was less women, and now there is more and more, and you have the support network of more women being involved. That, yeah, I think it's now it's not so bad, you know. There's a respect there. It doesn't matter that you're female, and this is what I want. I want the equality. I want the fact that just because the guy does it doesn't mean I can't do it, and things like this. So this is my angle on females in motorsport and stuff like this, is that I can do it as well, and in fact I can do some stuff better than they can do, and working together. And yeah.
And what are your wishes and plans for the future? Is there anything you want to achieve?
I would love to go and work at Indy and do the triple. So I've worked at Le Mans, I've worked at Monaco, I've been to watch the Indy 500, but to go and work it would be like, you know, the famous triple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I kind of take it as it comes, especially with Corona at the moment. It's not something anyone really knows what's going to happen. And I quite like seeing where the years take me, you know, like whether it's going to be F1 for the next 5 years, whether I go back to WEC, whether I go and do a bit of IndyCar, or, you know, or maybe I leave motorsport completely. I don't know. I enjoy it. It's in my blood. It's something that runs through my veins. So I will never completely leave at all.
Die ist schon cool, oder? Das ist so eine, die hätte ich gern als große Schwester.
Stimmt. Jetzt, wo du sagst?
Ja.
Als Einzelkind wünsche ich mir immer, immer eine größere Schwester und eine ältere Schwester.
Oh.
Vielleicht will sie es ja werden.
Das hätten wir sie fragen sollen. Weißt du was? Fragen wir sie nochmal, ob sie dich als Schwester adoptieren will.
Okay. Beim nächsten Mal dann.
Also, Augen offen halten, wenn ihr das Sam irgendwo seht. Mein Kater, drück da herum bei der Maus, Caro.
Lass das raus. Also, Entschuldigung.
Der Kater sagt, ich muss aufhören mit der Episode zum Aufnehmen.
Okay.
Deshalb bis zum nächsten Mal. Da ist der Josh Cruz mit dabei. Er ist Digital Producer bei der Scuderia Alpha Tauri.
Ja, es wird auch cool. So, ja. Tschüss.
Tschüss, auf Wiederhören.
Holy mac and cheese balls.
Im Frühling steigt so einiges. Die Temperaturen, die Stimmung und die Partys draußen. Nur die Preise. Die sinken jetzt bei vielen Produkten langfristig. Entdecke die neuen niedrigen Preise. Sogar bei vielen Möbeln für draußen. In deinem IKEA und auf IKEA.de.
Wusstest du, dass TK Maxx immer die besten Markendeals hat? Duftkerzen für alle, Sportoutfits, stylische Pieces für dein Zuhause, Designer-Handtasche, check, check, check. Bei TK Maxx findest du große Marken zu unglaublichen Preisen. Psst. Im Onlineshop auf tkmaxx.de kannst du rund um die Uhr die besten Markendeals shoppen. TK Maxx, immer der bessere Deal im Store und online.
Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral. Alles super.